Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Stargirl Squadcast. My name is Cameron.
I'm a diva.
And I'm Tam.
And today we are going to be talking about episode 11 of season 1 of Stargirl Shining Knight. Now, we know that normally we cover two episodes per podcast, but just because we didn't want to break up the episodes in between seasons, like each season has two blocks of 13, and we didn't want to do the season one finale and the season two premiere. Plus, we thought that this was a decent enough or like big enough episode for it to stand on its own. We just decided that it would be for the best. So we're going to have probably a much shorter episode than you're used to. We apologize if you're coming to us for some long form content, but you know. It is what it is. Obviously, first things first, we're going to go through our meme poll. Now, in a stunning turn of events, Adiba actually has 71.4% of the poll, whereas Tam only has 28.6%, which is shocking considering that Tam made a whole animation, but, you know, whatever. Some people don't have taste. I have 0% of the vote, but I just...
I will vote for you.
I didn't even vote for myself because I knew that it was crap. Don't vote for me. Don't waste your vote. Don't throw your vote away. But that's about all that we have for pre-show stuff. So we're just going to get on into the meat and potatoes of the episode. So Shining Knight starts off with, there's like medieval like fighting sounds as the DC credits are playing. Oh my god. And then it just cuts to the Shining Knight, Sir Justin, out in like the middle of the road, and he's getting harassed by like a farmer or something as he's like staring at horses, and the camera is like zooming in on those horses, and it is camp, but dare I say it's a bit much.
It's not too much. Everything about that perfect amount. I have in my notes. It doesn't get better than this. It doesn't get better than this. I thought I wrote.
Well, it is. I did write the drama. The drama, the medieval quotes. Like, what is happening? Like, calm down. Like, I love Stargirl, but I get to this episode and I'm like, ugh, do I really want to have to sit through all of this?
White gallant steed with fire in its eyes and victory in its heart.
Oh my god. He's so dramatic. I love him.
I don't, but that's okay.
I think it was a great opening. It was very fun. Very camp.
What happens that's so good is that there's like there's a certain part of the scene that is peak content. Mm-hmm. Like content does not get better than this, where he notices an American flag just like flapping in the wind, and there's like an angelic choir that starts singing, and then all of a sudden it just like flashes to Pat, and it's first Pat over the shoulder looking back at him, and then he starts beckoning, and it's like, come on, come on.
Stripesy in the sky. Love it.
I love Heaven Stripesy.
That is, Heaven Stripesy
it's
is.
It's like Ronald McDonald, too, but so it's much. Worse, and that's what makes it really funny. Like,
I think it's peak Stargirl.
I don't know.
Like, this is the only show where you get content like that.
For real. Also, Stargirl has no. Well, it's a long scene, yeah, but Stargirl has no qualms with child abuse and murder and elderly abuse, because that's literally what the last two back-to-back episodes have been, like, it just,
I mean, he's not that elderly, though. I mean, like, I know he comes from a while ago, but, like, he's decently,
He acts like he's very old.
He's only, what, how
and
old
he's
is that
technically
after, like,
is very old.
Like,
he was from King Arthur's time. Fine. That does make him fundamentally old.
He's from the olden days.
So the dude, Sam Curtis, Courtney's father, shows up. He's introduced to Courtney music. He's introduced to country music because he's the worst. Sorry to any country music fans, but it's not it for me.
I wrote in my notes that he doesn't deserve a song, like a cool character introduction song. They should have introduced him in silence.
I mean, that's correct. He doesn't deserve it. And then Then you get to inside the Whitmore Dugan basement where Barbara is talking to Bat and Courtney, who are about. Courtney's pretty shaken, obviously. I would love to see the conversation that Courtney had where she comes back and
Right? It
she's
seems like they
like,
never
yeah, so
slept.
Henry's
I don't
dead.
think they slept because how are they only having, it's the morning at that point and they're just having that conversation now. And I feel like I would have liked to see them go home and literally tell Barbara what happened because, or tell Pat and Barbara what happened. I would have liked to see it.
I think Barbara made them sleep.
I think it works better as a story from a storytelling perspective, or not from a storytelling, but like at least it makes more logical sense for it to be happening in the evening, because so much of this episode takes place before school
Before
that it's
school
like
starts, yeah.
a comedically long amount of time. Because I was a teenager once.
You
You
don't
do not
have
get
time.
up
You don't have
you
time before
don't like
breakfast before school starts.
4 hours before school starts. Like
Yeah.
that's not happening. So
Actually, it happening in
it
the middle
also
of the
it makes.
night would be really creepy too, because then like your dad just shows up in the middle of the night and you never like met him before and everything like
Right.
that. Yeah.
That's so
Right. But
dramatic.
there's also, he took a bus all the way out there to get off the bus at 7 a.m. and he got back on that bus by 8 a.m. Like, that's ridiculous. That's absurd. Like, that didn't happen. So it would have made a lot more sense for this to be happening the night before, but for whatever reason, they just made it the next day.
And then it also explains why it's just so much more tense because, and like Pat yelling at Mike like he does soon when we get to that scene. I feel like if that was happening that night and none of them
That could have
slept and
happened in the
all that
evening.
stuff, it would have, I felt like it would have just had more emotional weight to it. Yeah.
Also, I just think it's super funny that Barbara, who previously only knew this man as Henry, is referring to him as Brainwave. Like, I understand that he is Brainwave, but like, that's just it's just funny to me that she just started casually adopting everybody's code names. Also, it might just be because the other day I stayed up until 4 a.m. editing. But
Not
the
too bad.
editing for that scene is super choppy. I don't know what the issue was. She's like,
Which scene?
if you listen back to her talking, it sounds like she's making a larger point that they condense down. It's like if we go on a tangent for like 3 minutes and I have to cut it down to like 1 minute because we're going nowhere and we're just talking circles around each other. That's like basically what it sounds like happened.
I would believe
But
it. I
like
feel like a lot
I
more
don't
probably
know.
was in the original script, and maybe they did cut it down.
But there's like some of them aren't noticeable cuts, but some of them really, really are pretty bad.
I would have liked to see more guilt from Pat about what happened with Henry too. I feel like that got kind of brushed aside. Like I feel like Barbara's more shaken about what happened than Pat, when literally this is Pat's team that he was supposed to control, you know? Like
Not only is it Pat's team, but as we discussed yesterday, a good amount of this is Pat's fault. So,
Yeah, and
yesterday.
I was
Oh, you know what I mean.
last time. Yeah, this we do. We record these podcasts every day in case anyone was. No, we don't. We don't
Yeah,
do that.
we do.
I was reading Stars and Stripes, and like I was watch like why am I saying I was watching? I was definitely not watching it. I was reading it, but the comics with Courtney in it, and yeah, like Pat is a lot more very frustrated when they're fighting in a school setting, and Courtney's friends like Mary Kramer and all that, like when they're in there and they're involved, and he's just like, okay, like get out of here, stop it, like go away, go to school, don't get involved. Like he's actually more actively trying to stop situations like that in the comics.
Well, in the comics, Pat's also not a loser.
Yeah,
Like,
that's, I
just
think
say
that's why.
it
It was terrible. But
like he's
yeah.
like buff. He's buff. He was like he actually fought people when he was Stripesy. Like the comic Pat and
And show
actual
Pat
Pat, or
are
not actual
different.
Pat.
It's true. And
Yeah, show
also,
Pat.
like comics Pat, like is worse with women than
Is
show
he?
Pat in the sense of like just in the way that the relationship is with Barbara. Like when I read Pat and Barbara and their relationship in the comics, it makes me kind of want to go like, yikes! Like I wish Barbara didn't marry you because he's high. Like at least in season one with the show, you know, like he's still doing the same things, but he's trying. Like he has guilt about it. Like you see that he's kind of upset about it. I don't know. I'm glad that they didn't. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that I am glad that they didn't stretch out Barbara not knowing about everything and then lying about like to her for like many more seasons. I think it was an appropriate time to bring her in just because at this point, like it's getting bad. Like, their lying from the beginning was never good, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I feel like if you're having, if you're a kid, regardless of the superheroing, if you're a kid and you're having classmates literally die,
like, tell your parents, you know?
Your parents kind of need to know, because, like, Courtney is going to be more distraught than even, like, the average kid in that high school, because she's the one who's actually, like, witnessing these deaths. And your mom's gonna have to understand why you're going through all of these, like, crazy, like, emotional damaged type problems like these. So, yeah, it's just, it makes more sense.
Then, of course, Mike comes down, says that there's somebody at the door. The dude shows up. Barbara chose, like, the worst... Not only did Barbara choose, like, the worst time to email somebody, because she was, like, in a crisis. But, like, I don't remember exactly what she typed in the previous episode. I feel like it sounded... She said, we need to talk, though. So that implies, like... that it's more urgent, I guess, than other emails that she previously sent him.
She said it was like, it's about your daughter or something like that. Like, she said it's about your daughter. Yeah.
But it's the immediate, like, he said, like, he was worried or something like that, and that's why he came. And obviously he has ulterior motives for coming, because he's going to get Courtney's heirloom. But, like, it's just, I don't know, either that excuse is complete BS and he just, like, was on his way already and just so happened to have gotten an email from Barbara, or... it just timing-wise, it doesn't make sense, because it literally was the next
day. I believed him because she wrote him from her work email, and I'm going to assume, like, I guess this is me taking some assumptions here, but I am going to assume that on her work email, she has a signature, has her work, her place of work, and perhaps her workplace phone number, and maybe he did call her there, because she did not show up to work again after that, and so he was calling, you know, and... she left, she was not there, so he probably, like, I'm going, again, like, I he doesn't care that much, but I feel like for him to have said that, maybe he did call her office number, like, once or twice, and she obviously didn't pick up, and then he said, okay, you know what, maybe this is weird, because Barbara never talks to me, and also, let me just, you know, get a buck out of this, and then that's why he went so fast, and then he also said what he said about, oh, I got worried, because no one contacted me or whatever, but I think that was also him putting on a show in front of Pat, making it seem like that he's more involved or whatever.
So Courtney's response of just being like, you're not my father,
I know, you're not my dad,
you're not my dad, but like I get it, but like, come on. Like, there's a certain point where you have to admit that you lost. And she lost a while ago when Barbara straight up was like, Starman is not your dad.
Yeah.
But, like...
she's just in denial. It's...
To be fair for her, it's just... as we know in post-production issues, that she literally has a photo of Joel McHale in the locket.
Right, I was going to say that. Because I was they going didn't... to say that. But
so it's... in Courtney's defense, I know it doesn't make sense, but... yeah.
See, I kind of dislike that they did that, because, like, that's, like, kind of cheap if you were watching this from week to week, and,
which
like,
we,
you
which
didn't
we were.
Know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, if you had never seen, like, comics or whatever of her, because in the comics, she always knows that her father is not Starman. Really? So, like, if you didn't know that, I feel like that's kind of, like, a thing that they... shove at you, like, not necessarily out of nowhere, because everybody tells her that it's not him, but I don't know, I feel like they could have done that differently. I'm not in love with what they did, and obviously they had time constraints or whatever, so I'm not gonna fault them for it, but I just feel like they probably could have, like, at least get, like, a random man, like, just a generic stock photo. You didn't need to get Joel McHale, or, like, you could, like, blend their faces together in Photoshop or something like that.
They weren't able to because they had made it before before they casted the guy that plays the dude. So they weren't able to do that. They already showed it.
Yeah, we've said his name. Really? DB, you said, like, episodes ago. Yeah, you said that there was a rule that we can't say his name.
Oh.
Yeah, we're doing this because of you.
Put that rule in place?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're doing this because of you. The dude.
I hate the dude.
I think it's really fun that Courtney wants to talk to Pat, because she's, like, at odds with her mother. Not, I guess, at odds is a strong word choice, but she's not entirely happy with her mother at that moment. which is, again, not fair to her, because, like, okay, but I just think that that's pretty significant that Courtney shifted her attention to Pat so quickly and now sees Pat as somebody to console her instead of just a guy that lives in her house.
I feel like
she sometimes listens to.
Yeah, I feel like that's what really important for Barbara to see that, because she was kind of understanding that Pat yeah. and Courtney had some sort of relationship that she didn't quite understand, but she was happy that they were bonding. Mm-hmm. And now she understands there's actually like our emotional weight that's connected to that. And with the context, I think it makes her feel obviously more scared, but at the same time, better about why it just yeah. randomly happened that way. Because otherwise, I feel also that you're not going to particularly want to keep your kid with someone who, you know, you're not sure if they have any regard for their safety. But you see Courtney now really does trust sure. Pat at this point. Like, she respects Pat more yeah. than she ever had in the 2 years. So I mm-hmm. think that was important for Barbara to see from Courtney's side, that she actually does want to go talk to Pat.
So when she's talking to Pat, she's like, what have I been doing this whole time? And then she says something along the lines like, I got Henry killed or something like that. She did say that. She's also technically not wrong.
Okay.
like she's not at fault, obviously, but it is true that if she had never picked up the cosmic staff, Joey would definitely still be alive. Henry would probably still be alive, because there would be no one advocating for him. Now, granted, this would be in like the bad timeline, because the ISA probably would have won, but I do think that, like, when you watch the scene, it's easy to be like, oh no, Courtney, you're wrong. Like, that your actions didn't do that. But, like, inherently, yes, they did. If she had not gone out that first night with the staff, and, like, if she, even if she had just, like, let Pat, like, listen to Pat in the first place, like, none of this would have happened. Mm-hmm. And again, she's not, like, she's a teenager. She's not at fault for that. Nobody's going to blame her for that. And obviously, you don't have a show without that. But I do think that it is something to actually note, in that she's kind of like realizing that for the first time. And I think that that scene in itself, and every other time when she's talking with the rest of the JSA later,
I love
think
that, that that's scene.
Really powerful mm-hmm, that right. she's admitting that.
Yeah, because that's her major flaw. Like, for the last 10 episodes, we were seeing that, like, Courtney had such a one-tracked mind, and she didn't
yeah.
really right. understand the gravity of what she was doing and how that would affect other people. Like, and even mm-hmm. when she did see it, she was not processing that it's, no, this is such a huge responsibility that it's me who's giving other people the power to be putting themselves yeah. in such danger. And again, it's, even if she was working in a context of a team more like with more flexibility, which she never was, there you can say, okay, well, collectively they made decisions together and they decided so and so. But even in episode 10, she was the one who was choosing to do things without other people's technically consent or total agreement. And so that's why she's like, no, this yeah. is all my fault. And in truth, it is her fault. And it's important that she kind of realize that and learn to deal with that moving forward.
And yeah. I do think that it's super important when you look at her character arc for season 2, and even like towards the tail end of the season, once this happened, she's much more careful about mm-hmm. everything that she does since then. Like she's much better with her secret. She doesn't tell anybody. She doesn't trust people inherently. And I think that like this is a very significant cornerstone in her
superhero career,
just overall.
But
character.
I also think it really helped develop her paranoia in season 2, which was also not healthy mm-hmm. at all. And
mm-hmm. which is yeah, totally going to get worse for
it's
season
going to
3.
Get worse. Yeah.
Mike walks in to Pat consoling Courtney, and Pat yells at him.
No, he shouldn't have done
it's
that.
Like so sad.
It's terrible.
It's
I know he's under a lot of stress.
It's very
that
similar.
It's not necessary.
It's very similar. I dare I say it's the closest we get to the comic Pat and Mike relationship, which is like the saddest father-son relationship in the world.
Are you
Well, maybe not in the
serious?
world, but
It's really
yeah, in the
bad.
comics they do not like each other. There's like a whole scene where Mike tells Pat that he wishes that Pat was dead instead of his mother.
I'm kind of glad I
Mike
didn't
was
read
sent to boarding
the comic.
school
Mil
or
like
like military
military
school,
school.
and
Yeah.
Pat
Yeah.
like didn't even mention that he had a son to Barbara. It's like a
At
whole
all.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was
No,
it's funny
they have
because
an awful relationship.
I was reading, like I said, like I was reading Stars and Stripes yesterday, and there's this one scene where Pat realizes that Courtney's wor he says Courtney is worse than Michael. And I'm like, yeah, she is. So imagine how bad you feel. Like comics Courtney, just for some context, is very rude. Like she's just straight up,
Oh, she
she's
sucks.
terrible, right? So
In the
she's
beginning, she
so
sucks.
mean. She gets better, but like in the beginning, she's so mean. Like even to the other supers, like she got to meet like the Teen Titans and like Young Justice, and she's rude to them after she like for no reason. Anyways.
We know that Courtney puts Pat into anaphylactic shock on purpose because Pat is allergic to pineapples, and Pat like told her at one point that she could not like go out and do something, and so she just like put a pineapple in his pillow and like almost killed him.
No, she's just absolutely unhinged. But
There's no
like
way that
she goes
actually
Wonder
happened.
Girl.
Not a good
Wonder
person.
Girl is like, hey, I like your costume. And then Courtney's like, thanks. Can't say the same for yours. Like unprovoked. It was so rude.
She's an asshole.
Yeah. So, anyways, Pat realizes he's like Courtney is worse than Michael. And I'm like, yeah, she is. I bet you feel bad now about how you're treating Mike because he didn't deserve like half of the stuff that you gave to him, and Courtney is 10 times worse. So anyways, yeah,
Mike's full name
rough
is
times.
Michael?
What do you think it was short
Yeah.
for? I just thought his name was Mike. People are just named Mike,
Mikhail?
aren't they?
No, not really. No.
People just aren't named Mike.
Adiba? Not really.
Mike isn't
I'm
like
sure
a
there's
name?
occasional, not really, no. Like I have an uncle named Mike, but his full name's obviously Michael.
Is it always been
Putting this
that
in
way?
classic
It's
conversation.
always been this
Yes.
way.
Yeah.
This is the
In like the
fundamentals of
Bible, there's like
English
a
names.
Michael. Like,
Yes.
so like every Mike that exists, when they were like ever since they were like a little baby,
Kiva.
their names have always just been Michael.
Yes.
Like you meet like a
Yes.
toddler
Right.
named Mike, and the toddler's name is actually Michael?
Yes, that's
I have a
why they're
cousin.
calling them
Yeah, I
Mike,
have a cousin named
because
Michael.
you're
What did you
not
say?
really calling a 3-year-old Michael, right? That's why.
Adiba.
I didn't realize. I didn't know.
Are you aware that Rick's real name is Richard?
No,
I
it's
knew that.
Rickoyald.
It's Rickoyald.
That's before your time, Cameron, but like, it's,
It's
yeah.
not that. That was a
Beth's full
joke
name
that
is
I don't get,
Bethany.
but
It's not. It's
no,
Elizabeth.
it's just Beth. Beth can be a nickname for Bethany.
Oh, right. It is Elizabeth.
It's Elizabeth. They,
I
yeah.
knew that.
Oh
Her
my God,
name
her
is
name is
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Yes,
Wait,
her
I
name is
never actually
Elizabeth.
realized
Yes, it
that.
is. That's why I call Courtney and Beth the Elizabeths,
Yeah, because
because
they share
they're
a
both
name. Yeah.
Elizabeths. Then why don't we call the Queen Beth?
What?
What? Oh, like the Queen of
No.
England.
Yeah,
This is so
Queen
off topic.
England. This is
Anyway,
so off. Yeah, anyways.
Sorry.
there's a scene where Buddy is growling at the dude, and Buddy's tag straight up says Buddy.
I
So
mean, right?
we lost.
We have two
Like, we
episodes to
lost
rectify
too.
our absolute delusions. We have two episodes left.
And I have 3 seasons.
We lost so
Have fun
badly.
with the loss. I am sending you love and all my thoughts, but I will be celebrating.
Barbara's like, you know why you have to go to school, and it's because, yeah, you're gonna fail history, girl. That's not actually why. She says you have to go to school because actually I don't actually understand why Barbara was like, you have to go to school. I think it's because
I think she wanted to keep up the illusion
that everything was fine.
of
Yeah.
normalcy.
Okay,
Yeah,
okay.
you have to keep up
Personally, I
appearances.
feel like if a child died, the kids should get a day off to recover.
Yeah, they
But that's
should.
just me.
Oh,
That's
if they
just
did
me.
that, I
Especially
mean,
if it's
this is
in
clearly a
Utah, we
normal
probably shut
occurrence
down
in Blue
forever.
Valley because they
But
went
Blue
to school the
Valley would
next
have
day
to, yeah.
for. I mean, they went to school the next day when like half of the school watched Joey die.
I
So like
know. I know, which is
that's crazy.
they
absolutely
like
ridiculous.
have no
Also,
concern for their student body.
Joey did not get an auditorium like assembly, and Henry Jr.
Well,
did. I know he got like a flower.
I think he did.
Like,
he got a memorial. I think he probably did get an assembly.
He got like a little memorial. Are you serious?
I think it's just off screen. I think these are just things that for the purpose of storytelling, they had to have Henry Sr. in the auditorium tell Courtney that he knew who she
we'll
was.
Get there.
So I get why they did that, and it's unnecessary to have Joey's memorial service like there, because like what are you going to show that like Courtney wasn't there and all the other kids that we haven't explored their dynamics net yet were
fair enough.
Like, at that point, Courtney was the only character really that we were following. So like, yeah.
Sir Justin runs to his horse girl calendar.
I wrote the hissing. I can't. Does he hiss?
I think it's the music.
Who's hissing?
You might be talking.
Is
about,
it
like,
because
the
I don't think it's the music.
Like, he sees sounds? Dragon King in the mirror. Not Dragon King, but he sees himself and, a drone of Dragon King. In
okay,
the mirror,
and that's
has,
hissing at him.
Probably.
He sweats like so much. Did you notice that? He's like going through it. He's like, there's like sweat like dripping off of his brow. Is he ever gonna find that steed? Because he mentions that he is looking for a steed, and he doesn't find it by the end of the season, and he goes off to find it or something like
imagine
that.
Imagine season 3, he comes riding in on a white horse through the streets of Blue Valley. I would die. That would be.
I think
so
that would
funny.
Be really funny.
It would be really.
It would
be,
would
up
be really
there
funny.
With, like, Patsy in the sky.
It's
you would,
camp.
And you then, would need a live. You would need like a camera on me to laugh and then groan at the same time as I have to deal with another season of Sir Justin.
It's like on the same level.
That
of
man is my mortal enemy.
In season 2, in season 2 when they were running with Jenny's lantern down Main Street, that it's like up there with like imagine the JSA trying to pull an old man off a horse in the middle of Main Street, trying to like keep him undercover because he's like I'm ready to fight, and they're like shh, like stop. Where
well,
are we gonna put a horse?
Is he still going to be, like, messed up, though?
Well, I don't think
like,
it matters. I feel like
now?
Even if he's fine, I still think he's going to be prepared. Because I think even in his right mind, he will go galloping through the streets of Main Street and Blue Valley to on his horse with a sword in his hand. I think he still would if he was totally in his right mind.
I can't that there's a sword. I feel like I mentioned it before, but the fact that there's just a sword in the janitor's closet is so absurd to me.
Yeah.
So then it cuts to Courtney with the dude. She is just as hostile with him, if not more so, than she was with Pat earlier, which kind of indicates to me that she just kind of treats men in her life that way. Like, she's very untrusting of adult men.
Well, I mean, yeah, because the
which,
first
you can't blame
her
for. You cannot blame her for it.
Yeah,
but like...
she got stood up by her own father on Christmas.
Also, interestingly, right. I don't know enough about Mary Kramer, but in the comics, I remember when Mary was like, I don't know why she hates her mom so much. At least she has one. It makes it seem like potentially Mary, I don't know if she has a dad, but I'm like, what if like Mary was in the comics? Was raised by her grandparents or something like that, in which case she also has an absent dad. Because I don't remember seeing a dad in, like, the first episode of season 1. Like, it kind of seemed like they were two single moms that had kids that kind of stuck together.
Yeah, I got the idea that they were two single moms.
Yeah, in which case then Courtney, literally her best friend, also has an absent dad, and that's kind of, like, the mentality she grew up with. So I think it kind of mentally checks out.
I think it's funny that the dude looks at the picture in his locket and is like, oh, that's a bad picture.
That's not even you.
So the dude just, like, straight up is not listening to Barbara. Courtney got her disrespect authority and her bad at history from him. It's canon.
It's also really disconcerting to see Courtney so depressed because, like, so glum because she's just not like that. It's not her personality. Even when she can't stand someone, she can't stand someone with pep. Here, she's just, like, actually depressed, and it's understandable considering the circumstances, but it's very jarring to see her be that upset. Yeah.
So then it cuts to the pit stop, and Beth and Rick are already there.
I have
seems,
so many questions.
Again, it's like absurd.
Yeah. So does
it's
Pat
so
leave the garage
absurd.
Door open? Does he leave it open for Rick and Beth? Like what?
I think he does.
I don't know.
But technically, I feel like Beth could break in with the goggle. Like she, if she really wanted to, she could walk. But I feel like Beth wouldn't
but, like,
do that without
you,
permission.
Why are you there so early? But why?
Oh,
are they
I don't
so
think they
early?
Slept.
There's
I don't
so
think they
much
slept.
To
I think they just. they came to the pit stop and they, I think they stayed there. Like, maybe they went, like, maybe Rick drove home to pick up clothes to change, but then I think they went right back. Because I feel like they, I feel like if you went something with what they went through, they would not be sleeping, right? So I feel like
That's fair.
Pat kind of said, okay, you guys can stay here as long as you want. And then Yolanda left. And then Rick maybe dropped Beth off to just change her clothes in the morning and then come, because the way that they were sitting too, like, Rick spent clearly all night in that with his journal. Like, he didn't, I don't think any of them slept.
I mean, like,
he, as soon as as soon as Pat walked in, Rick was like, oh, I'm almost done. And then Pat kind of cuts him off. So, like, I feel like in Rick's head, he was like, okay, I gotta do something. And the only thing he could think of doing was literally to crack that journal. And meanwhile, Beth was just sitting in the car, like, she was, her reaction was interesting because she was just quiet. But it, it seemed to me that they were there for a long time. Like, that's what explains it, because it was very early.
And I think that makes a lot more sense than them waking up that early to go to a garage and just to hang out.
Again, the editing is, like, so weird in the scene, too. There's one point where Pat says something like, pardon me interrupting, and then, like, he says it again, and it, like, cuts to an angle of Beth, and then she says classic, oh, that's our janitor, hey! Which is, love that line. Icon. But, like, I don't, I again, it's just, like, weird editing. It's, like, I never had a problem with the editing up until this episode.
I think
it's, sorry?
I think this episode was a lot longer, because I feel like they had a lot of history to go through and a lot of backstory to cover. So they, in my opinion, I think they had, like, a really huge episode, which a bunch of it got deleted. Because I know in this scene in particular, they had an entire fight scene, from what I remember.
They did?
They did.
Also, when Pat is like, Justin, is that you? When he straight up has a Justin name tag on his uniform. Like, I know he means, is that you, my friend from the Seven Soldiers of Victory? Is that you, that Justin? But it's also very funny that he's like, Justin? Is that you? When and his very clearly, his name says Justin on it. Like, that's his name, dude. Yeah.
My favorite part. Actually, this line is so good. From that Beth line. And then Rick going, why the hell is he carrying a sword? And also Sir Justin delivering line of the episode, I think, that makes me laugh every time, even though you're not supposed to laugh at it. He goes, they destroyed everything that I was.
Yeah, it was like just that. Sad. But no, but I...
It's not sad. It's not sad. I don't feel sad. No, I'm like, sad shut to up. Me.
It is kind of sad.
I literally, it's on site if I ever meet Sir Justin.
No. Why do you hate him so much? What has he done?
Okay.
I don't know. He did nothing for me. It has nothing to do with the actor. It's everything to do with the character. I don't like him in the comics either. Brainwave is back in his Steve Jobs morning attire. Why does he get dressed like that?
When he's when morning? He says, when Jordan says, I'm so sorry, and he goes, for what? Stop. Literally, those two words are horrendous. Like, that's, like, actually maybe the worst thing I've ever heard in my life on TV. Like, you kill your
son. He's the scariest man alive. What can I say?
He's so scary. He's like, yeah. And Jordan's like, I'm sorry. He goes, for what? Like, as if you didn't have a son for 17 years.
Jordan
your
immediately
life.
Has like, a face that's like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Like, Jordan's like, why did I invite you to my club again? Like, what? Yeah, no, it's so bad.
And they can't even get rid of Brainwave because the entire plan centers around him. So no matter how much they hate him, they can't get rid of him.
But did they really Brainwave if they thought hard enough? They could have gotten Anaya, I think, to somehow use the fiddle instead.
It would have been a lot more
But weird. Also, here's the thing. They, like, did -5% effort to actually recruit Henry. Like, there's, like, a whole plot point that I feel like we're missing. There's, like, a whole plot point that we're missing. Because they have a meeting about how Henry Jr. has powers, right? And they're like, okay, at that time, Senior
they're too
is still
slow,
in the hospital.
Though. They're too slow because it, like Brainwave just moves on his own and he doesn't, like, I feel like Jordan thinks he has things in control and things are working on his timeline. And then Brainwave just goes and literally destroys everything and says, no, I'm doing things my way. Because I guess if Brainwave didn't go after them, then they could have technically tried to have recruited, but they just, and it doesn't make sense with the timeline that they have set up, because if they're literally planning to have this be done in less than 24 hours, like, where's,
right?
Yeah.
It's also so crazy in that, like, not only do they make no attempt to, like, get at him, but they bring Brainwave into the building, and then once he's up, they make no effort to be like, okay, hey, Henry, calm down. Let's calm down. We'll get your son later. Like, calm down. Like, they make no effort. Like, the entire ISA is, like, there. Like, I know that he's OP, but, like, I feel like he can't possibly be that OP where if every single member of the Injustice Society was like, be rational, please don't do this. We can just have him.
Okay. Like, honestly, if you want my totally honest opinion, I think, and I know I'm not the only one, but I think even though Brainwave is OP and, like, clearly he thinks he's the best and he has an ego issue, I think he has a weird relationship with Jordan with the loyalty thing. And I think that because he will do anything. It's almost like he will do anything to please Jordan, which is weird. Like, it's weird. Mm-hmm. But I think that they kind of assumed that even though Brainwave technically could snap his fingers in an instant and like, mush all of their brains, that he kind of had this weird fascination for Jordan that made the rest of the ISA think, and Jordan himself, think that they were kind of safe. Because you see that in the sense that Brainwave, like, basically Brainwave killed his wife for Jordan, and he did all this stuff for Jordan. So why is Jordan so important to Brainwave? To me, that doesn't make sense. So there has to be some sort of weird relationship, loyalty type of dynamic going on there. And again, like he says, like, oh, I killed my son and my wife for you, right? And it's like, but nobody, he didn't ask you to do that. Nobody asked you to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's on Brainwave. So I think maybe the rest of the ISA can tell that Brainwave has, like, I don't know what kind of thing, but he has some sort of thing for Jordan as, like, a leader. And I think they're too safe. They're just too safe in thinking that's always going to be the case.
I think we're missing a huge chunk of whatever they had going on.
I agree. Stargirl, once again, we are begging you to please release the deleted scenes.
Yeah.
Also, here's where they mention that when basically Brainwave pries into Icicle's mind and finds out that he has second thoughts about harming Barbara and her family, because as we know, all along Jordan is developing feelings for Barbara, and Brainwave is quite insulted by that. He's like, this girl is going to jeopardize our entire plan. I don't think so. And then he suggests, well, I can erase her memory so she doesn't ever remember you or us or anything like that. And they say, oh, nobody is ever the same after you do that. And that's very important, I think, for many different reasons. The first reason is whether or not that will come into that may be useful for later seasons, and potentially why is it that Jordan specifically knows that? Like, I think
I know that it's a popular theory that they went into Cameron's mind and, like, probed it. I don't like that theory.
Oh.
I think that it is just a throwaway statement. Well, that he's, it's not throwaway,
because that's what happened evidence with Justin. That's what happened with Sir Justin. Sir Justin
but it wasn't Brainwave who did that. It was Dragon King.
No, it was so Dragon King. If you mess with someone's brain, but continue.
No, I know, but I mean, I'm saying it's throwaway in that I'm sure that there was some guy that they were fighting that found out information that they didn't want him finding out, and they probably had some kind of congregation and were like, what if we just, like, took the memory away from him and he just was not an ally after that or something like that.
But I,
like,
want to know maybe who not, that not was. An
ally, but, like, he was like just that, not right. I don't think it's as important. I mean, I would just assume that, like, not having ever had my mind wiped, that if my mind got wiped, I would probably be
who I think it is. Although, okay, you know what? it relates to Dragon King, so maybe not, but I wonder if, like, because we don't talk about Cindy's first stepmother, and I wonder if maybe they tried that, because we know that, for example, also, like, Bobby Berman had memories that she can't access anymore, and it, So I'm curious if maybe Dragon King asked Brainwave to, like, oh, wipe this random girl's memory, and then he'll experiment on them so-and-so or whatever. I don't know if that is related to that.
Then also Brainwave mentions that he, like, seemingly absorbed Henry's power and, like, is now ultra-powerful, which I am vaguely aware of that happening in the comics in reverse, but, like, I have not read those comics. I think they're talking about Infinity Inc., and I unfortunately I've have just read not them. Read the Infinity Inc. run. So I don't know exactly if that's, like, well, I've heard that it's true, and I am not going to question other people saying that it's true, but, like, you know, I just don't have anything to add to that, but I think it's mm-hmm. noteworthy that that was pulled from the comics, even though it seems, like, ridiculous, because, like, how does that work? How does that translate?
Right? I never understood that. I don't get how he absorbed Henry Jr.'s powers.
I also think it's really funny how confident he's like, we can control half the country now. With what numbers? You just, like, you feel, you woke it's up his ego. A little bit.
No, but that's his ego. That's Brainwave's problem. He really thinks he can do anything. And he, like, he has the brain power, but he also is really dumb for thinking that, it's his ego is his problem.
I also really like that Brainwave says, make up your mind, otherwise I'll make it up for you.
I know. He has a thing for that.
So prepared to go into Jordan's mind and mess him up. He's like, that is what we call an irredeemable villain.
Yeah.
I kind of love it. Like, he's scary and I hate him, but, like, I love it.
It's in character, though, that the character named Brainwave will decide, oh, I'm going to make other people's minds for them. Like, they have no choice. It's in character.
Okay, so then it cuts back to the pit stop. The fact that Sir Justin actually uses Excalibur is absurd. It is certainly camp, but, like, it's almost like, again, I appreciate camp, but Sir Justin is, like, a level of camp that even I can't just get behind. And Cam is in my name, and Cam P is my name, so, like, you know it's bad.
I love it, but that's okay.
Also, Rick makes a face while listening to the Shining Knight's backstory.
It's actually the funniest. That is me. He's, like, probably the funniest moment.
Any Shining Knight content.
Rick is unironically the funniest with just sometimes his facial expressions. Like, actually, his facial expressions there were so funny for no reason. He's just like, yeah.
I also have a question regarding how long has Shining Knight been here? Because he said that he tracked Dragon King back here, but, like, how Dragon King has been there for decades.
So that's what I'm trying.
So has Shining Knight just been a drone for decades?
Yes. So that's what I'm thinking, and that's why. Okay, this is okay. This is when we can bring up the debate, and not necessarily a full debate, but I have a few questions when it comes with the drones. Mm-hmm. Number one. I think Sir Justin, a long time ago, was led to Blue Valley because Dragon King was there. He was taken, apprehended, as he said, he was captured, and he was turned into a drone. And at some point, he managed to overcome that in a weird, unexplained way.
Off screen, yeah.
Whatever. The power so he did that. And that's
Deus
why
Ex
he's
Machina,
not,
whatever.
Right. That's why he's not okay. And that makes a lot of sense. But now I have two questions. Question number one mm-hmm. is, so we know that all of those drones now could they not technically be recovered? And should then not Pat and the kids be wondering whether or not they should be actually saving those drones, not killing those drones? Mm-hmm. Because they're real people.
Number two, I agree.
That's like an ethics issue, right? And number two is... Yeah, like, so after Dragon King is killed, they're just around. And number two was, we know that the wizard was turned into a drone. So does that mean maybe what happened to Sir Justin may one day happen to the wizard?
Hold on. His body. We know that he was turned into a drone?
Well, I mean, the dragon well,
his body was different, I but think, I just...
I don't think
that he's a drone, though. He's dead.
No, but what if we don't... Do we know that for sure? Like, what if... they can be unmelted or whatever.
I think it was not.
Because why would
drone
you use his body
stuff.
For? What would he use his body for then?
Because he's just a weird lizard man.
I really want the wizard to be a drone. I want the wizard to be a drone because then he can come back.
I don't.
Fair enough. I do want
his
that
son to come back. I miss Joey
because Because it would be interesting.
Yeah, Joey can come back. I don't care about William.
Fair enough, fair enough. But I just think the ethics of the drones is something that was totally not properly handled thanks to this episode.
Yeah, I think they should have discussed that more.
Yeah,
I get why they couldn't, because, you know, they had like a bit of a, like a timing issue and the CW and everything.
But they're 6 months afterwards and they just skip through that. But it's like, okay, so now you have proof that these drones were not chosen to be drones. They were literally abducted. And so what are you going to do? Like, you're just going to... And we never got any closure. Like, are those drones still around? Like, literally, what happened? Like, I'm so confused by that.
It goes back to the house and Pat's already there. Which is kind of bizarre, because, like, he went to the pit stop for 5 minutes, was like, okay, so Justin will bring you back home, and then, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess that makes sense, but it just, again, the timeline is, like, kind of ridiculous, I suppose.
Yeah. And this is still happening before school.
Yep.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Blue Valley High start. When does the school day start?
Like, probably 8 o'clock or 8:30, which means probably. That it doesn't make sense. But that's okay. But
they've been up for hours.
Barb is, like, I don't know what to think. Obviously, Sir Justin really does need help. Like, you can tell when you look at him. But it's not necessarily a smart move to, after everything that Pat just told her, just let him bring a random stranger into the house. I feel like I would be on high alert. Especially because, literally, the next episode, they get attacked by strangers, and it's not strangers, they knew them, but still, I don't know if that's to show that, like, Barbara really does trust Pat, or if it's just, like, they had nowhere else to put Sir Justin, so he had to go to their house. I feel like it would have been safer to have left him in the pit stop, not at their house.
It's really funny that in season two, when Jenny is there, they give Jenny a bedroom and make Court sleep on the couch, but they were like, Justin, you are sleeping on this couch. You do not get a bedroom.
Yeah.
Also, what does Mike think? Mike's just, like, around the house and is like, who is that guy? And Pat's like, shut up, Mike.
I know, it's terrible.
This episode is not about you.
Oh my god. That's so mean.
The scene where the dude has, like, one final heart-to-heart, quote-unquote, with Courtney talking about the heirlooms is just, like, that's ripped directly from the comics, like, down to, like, the leaf that falls down, yeah, if I remember correctly.
I saw people posting,
so,
like,
I like that.
It was so cute. I liked it. It was, like, a really fun scene. No, it wasn't a fun scene.
I was like, Adiba, are we talking about the same scene? Because I wouldn't.
It's not
call
a fun scene.
I meant
the fun part is that they really, like, copy the comics with, like, a lot of accuracy. Yeah. That part's fun. The scene was not fun. It was very tragic.
They also, like, continuously throughout this half of the episode, they keep on playing the Cosmic Staff theme.
They do?
But they play it, like, super, like, I think it's incomplete again, once more, showing that Courtney is once again, like, broken. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, definitely, like, a sadder version if it's not incomplete. So I just think that that's a fun little touch. My note for when Courtney hugs Pat and cries is love and tears, but whatever.
That is okay.
It was such a good scene. Like, it was...
Right?
We needed that. And also, like, the whole thing with the lockets, like, Courtney is not dumb. You know, she knew the second he asked about it. She literally just said, yeah, I love this.
Not dumb?
I know, but in this sense, in this sense, she's not. Like, for once...
Right.
She's not. And it's like... She just said how much she loves this locket, and he immediately is like, oh, let me see it. Okay, now I'm telling you how much retail value this has, and you're never going to see it ever again. Yeah. And she could have said no, and she could have taken it back, but it's like the fact that she doesn't, I think, is symbolism for two things. The first thing is it goes to show just how low she really is, because Courtney's someone who would fight back. I feel like usually she would be like, no, actually, if you gave this to me and you really are my dad, I deserve to keep this. This is the thing I like to wear. Like, I wear this every single day. Like, you're not just going to take this from me. Like, it's for me, right? She didn't do that. And I think the fact that she didn't do that at all goes to show just how low she is at this moment, right now, here and there. But at the same time, it's like she knows he's a piece of garbage, and it goes. I think it shows where Courtney is, as we like to call her dumb and stuff like that. But for me, this is the moment that I really got a lot more respect for her, because it's like, she's like, I'm not going to even bother with you. Like, just get out of my life. Which is really sad, because her whole entire thing, her entire season, was being, like, obsessed with this person. And this person is not, it's not who she thought that he was.
I think she really picked and chose.
Two times over, if we want to go there.
True.
In terms of Starman is actually also a piece of garbage.
Yeah, so. But he sucks.
I mean, the moral of the story is that Pat should be the role model, and that is what I like about that scene is that is her accepting Pat both as a father figure and as sort of a role model. So I like that.
Courtney and the no good, very bad, terrible, horrible, I said this in the wrong order, morning. Not even day, because it's not even like 8 a.m.
It's like the an hour that you have free between getting ready for school and then actually going to school. That is when this entire episode takes place.
As they classically say in that Smash Mouth song, the minutes start coming and they don't stop coming.
I love that song.
To be fair enough, though, they said it was before 7 a.m. when they first started. And assuming that class starts like at 8:30, they did have a solid 2 hours. It's still not enough time. Early?
It still is not enough time.
I know, it's not, but it's not like half an hour, just to put it out there.
I just don't understand why they would wake up that early.
So then we get the Pat confronting the dude. Iconic scene.
Iconic.
Icons
only. Absolutely iconic.
Pat, the sequence of events. The sequence of events that is the dude saying, "She looks good, not as good as when I had her." The punch, and then the stone cold. You're lucky I'm busy.
Iconic. Ooh.
Get it.
The only scene that rivals this one is what Pat does to Matt Harris in season 2, right? Which was equally
that more
shocking.
Funny though, because it's like, what did Pat do?
Yeah, it was just that one was
that
just
one
shocking.
Is up for interpretation, but this one, it was
this,
one.
Yeah,
this one,
and it was incredible.
I kind of wish that we saw Pat beat the crap out of.
I wanted to know. I thought he killed him. I was like.
Yeah.
Oh no! I'm talking. I mean, in both of these, I would like to have seen Pat beat on the dude a little bit more. Though.
Yeah.
But he was busy.
So. Punches.
I know he
was busy. Okay, but in Pat's defense,
so what?
He
could have kicked him while he was down.
No, because he needed all of his energy to face Sportsmaster in less than 4 hours. So.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
Because he really...
Yeah, you're right. I forgot that
really
this all... The
yeah,
next
this is
two
all,
episodes
that's what I'm trying
happen.
To say.
All
when
in
I
one
mentioned,
day.
And that's why I mentioned, like, not to talk about Rick again, but Rick's character development, literally, it's less than 24 hours. It's like... And the fact that episodes 10 to 13 is just, like, one weekend. If that. Madness. But anyways.
I think it's not even like a week. I think it's like a day.
Episode I was saying a weekend like to be, day. I was saying a weekend, you know, to be generous, but yeah, it's just a matter of hours.
Because I remember in episode 12, when Beth is doing like the hologram thing with her goggles, she's wearing the same outfit.
From this episode, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really cute outfit. I like it.
She goes to get the staff. Courtney goes to get the staff and Barbara talks to her and says like okay, like she has like a little talk with her then Courtney says like, oh, it's not working for her, so like whatever, and she says, I'm ready to leave Blue Valley whenever you want. And I was confused by that because like literally what just happened to her crying in Pat's arms. I thought like, because Barbara said she wanted to move away right with just Courtney, and I don't know, I was just, I know it's because she was just so depressed, but I thought, I don't know, that sounded like she was saying, I'm ready for this family to break up, and I was surprised by that.
I don't know. I think this episode, Courtney was just not having a great time. She was struggling with so much already, with, like, Henry dying, and then her, like, her dad coming to town, and he's not the man that she thought he was. And all, like, everything was happening all at once, and she was already struggling. So I think it just took, like, a huge emotional and physical toll on her that she was really like, you know what, let's just give up. Let's just move, get this over with. The staff doesn't work. My schoolmates are dead. My dad is a jerk. Let's just leave, you know?
I get that, but I feel like that would have made more sense for her to have said before she really just, like, cried into Pat's arms, because to me, it's like she said that as soon as she tried lifting up the staff and the staff didn't work, and she was like, I don't think it matters anymore. And that sounds to me as if she's saying, above all else, I can't be Stargirl. I don't care about this family. Let's just get out of here, because being Stargirl is the most important thing to me. And while that's true, I felt it would have been more impactful if she said that before, and then she tried lifting up the staff, and then it just, you know, it got worse, and she had to go to school, and she was depressed, as opposed to she needed someone, Pat was there, she cries to Pat, and that's the moment that they had, and it kind of solidified her seeing Pat as a father figure, and then saying, yeah, let's leave, I don't ever want to be here ever again, because, I don't know, I felt like it kind of clashed with the family kind of closeness that they just established. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think this whole source of drama, I think another reason why I'm not a huge fan of this episode is not just because of the Shining Knight aspects. I feel like the whole drama of her the whole drama of her not being able to use the staff anymore. I get that she had to, like, believe in herself again or whatever, but, like, I feel like it's stretched out for so long. There's so much, and it's out of, like you said, it's, like, kind of out of order, too. Mm-hmm. Like, she accepts how things are, and then she's back to woe is me, and then, or not woe is me, but you know what I mean. She's back to, oh, I can't do this. And then she's, like, later on, she's back there, and she's trying, and it won't work, and then she's heartbroken. And then immediately it works again. Like, it's kind of all over the place. Like, I wish that they took a little bit more time. They took a little bit more time plotting out this episode, I guess.
That said, I do appreciate what this episode does in terms of it being dramatic and not, like, super action-packed. And I do think that more superhero shows should have episodes like this. I think, like, I appreciated the emotional weight that they gave to this episode. There's just some stuff that doesn't make sense. And that's where I'm a little bit nitpicky with. But overall, I do really like that they gave Courtney all of these teenage emotions, because she's a teenager. Like, this is normal for her to go through such an emotional roller coaster. I think the worst thing they could have done, was have Henry die. They ship her off to school, and they act like, hey, guys, I don't care that Henry just died. We've got to pull ourselves together, and et cetera. Like, I'm glad they rather like this.
Well, I don't think that there's a world where they would have done that, though. I think that they
Arrowverse shows that do stuff like that. There are definitely Arrowverse.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm trying
to say. I know, I appreciate it in that sense. Okay. Like, when, like, a character or, like, anybody in, like, the superhero's life would die, and the superhero would just go back to being...
And they're like, well, really we have to protect this town, and there's no one, if we don't do it, no one else will do it. So we gotta just work through the pain. Anyway, I never liked that.
Work through the pain. You know, so much is happening. You're allowed to take a moment and just feel your emotions. And I'm glad that they gave this, her, like, an episode to process everything.
That said, I do think they focus, like, I know it's Courtney's show and this is Courtney's episode, but if we're going to take that moment, I think they did Yolanda a disservice in the last three episodes of the show.
I was going to say, this should have also equally been Yolanda's episode. Absolutely. I know they wanted to do a whole Shining Knight thing. It should have been Courtney in mourning and Yolanda in mourning. Right. Yolanda's in, like, two scenes.
For the rest
and
of the show.
Both of the scenes, they're not dealing with her emotions at all.
No. And it's like,
Of course, they do this whole mourning arc with her in the second season, but it's like, it's almost too late at that point.
It is.
Like, it's been, like, by the time you're watching it, it's been, like, a year later. Like, I wanted to unpack her trauma now.
Now, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree. And I feel like they do a massive disservice to her with that. And it's like, for the way that they're friends now, Courtney's going through it, I totally understand that. But I don't know, maybe like they should have split up Rick and, because I know they partner Rick and Beth all the time, and I love that for the shipper and me, but maybe they should have had one, like when Beth said, oh, Yolanda went to church, she wants to be alone, I'm like, you know what, I don't think she should have been alone. Like, maybe split up, have Rick be the one who's like, I can't believe this Sir Justin stuff is going on, this is garbage, and then have Beth like be there with Yolanda, because Yolanda is, from this point on, she's not the same person anymore. Like, she is, she's closed off.
Yeah,
she's absolutely like filled with guilt to a degree that is super dangerous, and she's not the same. And throughout the rest of the season too, she's similarly not the same, and I feel like she's the one that needed at least the parental guidance, you know, because she didn't get any, and Courtney got all of the support from the adult figures in this episode, and Yolanda got none, and I think that's where there is a significant problem there with the story that they've built up with Henry being attached to Yolanda's origin story. I think maybe we should have gotten one more episode, or maybe one extra day before this countdown happened.
And also, every single scene that Yolanda was actually in was always about Courtney processing her issues and her emotions.
Like, they never asked Yolanda if she was okay. Like, they never did, which is like...
Like, the only time we actually heard that Yolanda's not okay, like, she needs time to process Henry's death, was when Beth said that she was in church. Like, that was like the only time.
I would say at the very end of the season, where like Rick asks Beth, like, oh hey, it's okay because Chuck got destroyed, you see Yolanda's kind of lying to them, thinking, oh yeah, everything's gonna be okay, like she puts on like a brave face for Beth, and I think that was the moment that we saw things have fundamentally changed for Yolanda, that she's not even, she like, and it's interesting that she chooses Courtney over the rest of the two. And we could talk about this, like, in the finale episodes. But Yolanda isn't even Yolanda with Rick and Beth the way that she is with Courtney. And it starts kind of now. And that's where I think the damage was done. And because I think now is the moment that maybe as a friendship group, they really should have had at least a scene together where they talked about this. And that's probably why, again, maybe they did this on purpose, but in season two, when Yolanda has her episodes in season two, she shoots all of these, like...
She does.
She just, like, accuses Rick of this, and she accuses Beth of that, and they're justified because, like, they can't argue with her logic there. And I don't know if they're doing this on purpose just to keep her so isolated that she would have all of this, like... brainwave trauma arcs later on, but it seems a little out of character for how protective Beth and both Rick are, that they don't at least try to reach out in this time. And there's just no time, because it's so time crunched.
It's like really jam-packed. This episode was just like backstory and history after history, so it's, I understand from like an editing perspective why they edited the episode the way they did, but from like a viewer's perspective, I think they should have really stretched it out.
So Icicle goes to Barbara's office, and he has the gambler break into her laptop or computer or whatever. But isn't her password New Kids on the Block or something like that? It's like an acronym for it, so there's like way too many syllables in there, so whoever was doing that in digital was very incorrect, because that is not what the password is.
They didn't get the script, I guess, for the next episode to align it, but that's funny.
And then obviously Jordan knows, and that's what ultimately is going to sway him against Barbara. So that's...
Barbara needs to stop doing JSA stuff on her work computers. I'm sorry, but like...
She does.
That was just...
I mean, she barely started. It was the first thing that she did.
But it's not good enough.
Which, like, smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yes. Then it gets to that lunch table scene.
I actually really like this scene.
I think it's really funny because they're all like, oh, we're not related to the Wildcat or Dr. Midnight. And Rick is sitting there with his lips absolutely sealed.
Yeah, he's like, I deserve
He really
this,
can't say anything here.
But I like the way that he says, oh, well, the staff is stupid then, because it's a dumb line. But I don't know. For Rick, it was pretty sweet to say that. But
I think that scene should have been longer.
I was just gonna say that. I was gonna say Breck's acting in this scene, I loved it. I think Breck should have left. Not Breck. I think Courtney should have left. And then I feel like the three of them should have had another scene, the three of them together. That's what I wanted.
But I think that the reason why they framed it that way and had it be so short was just because they wanted to do that long zoom shot, which is fine. But it kind of, you can't see Rick's face at all. And it's hard to see anybody who's not Courtney really reacting.
I know.
And I think we should have gotten their reactions too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it might have been better.
I think they could have started the scene off with the zoom and then later cut to all the other angles.
Right.
Because I just think those three really needed to speak. I really love the speech that Courtney makes too. Like, and again, like I mentioned, like, I love the acting, like the way she could barely get the words out because she's just so traumatized of realizing just how bad things are. But at the same time, I have to notice that this parallels so hard with what Yolanda said to Courtney in episode 4 about Courtney saying, oh, I can't do this because I'm trying to be someone that I actually am not. Yeah. And that was Yolanda's whole purpose of why she said, I don't think I should be Wildcat, because if I become Wildcat right now, I'm going to get absorbed with this idea of being someone who I'm not, because I'm trying to hide from the pain and the shame that I feel just by being Yolanda Montez. So it's very interesting because I remember I mentioned when we were going over episode 4 that Yolanda had a lot of points there, and I think she was actually right to say that I don't think Wildcat is healthy for me right now. Because this is exactly then what Courtney ended up doing. She threw herself into being Stargirl to a way that literally ended in like a delusional concept of who she was. And now she's saying, well, this actually is really profoundly hurting me and my self-perception to the point that I can't even be Stargirl. Like, she can't even lift up the staff, which is really interesting. Just the fact that they used some of the same speech that Yolanda said and then make Courtney say it.
So they cut to the actual memorial /
assembly.
What's the word? Assembly service for Henry. A couple things. Number one is a general question. How did they cover Henry's death up? Because they couldn't say he was just crushed underneath the tunnels under the school. So, like, I'm really interested in, like, there's so many cover-ups that I really want to know what they actually said. Yeah. I know they give a cover-up story for Project New America, but that's, like, the only one that we hear.
Yeah, I also want to know how the season, like, how the student body found out that Henry's dad was suddenly alive again, and, like, out of the coma, because that's also sus. Like,
And then also, number two, I found something. Shout out to Stargirl Wiki, because I do go on you a lot, and I know that there's somebody who runs like the Twitter account that follows us, so shout out to you. But Stargirl Wiki needs to get updated, because it says that Jenny is not in this episode. That's not true. Jenny is in this episode.
Yeah,
she is behind Yolanda and Courtney next to Travis. They sat next to each other on their
because they have a thing, which is so
wrong,
funny.
Jenny. I was confused. I thought we were talking about
No, not that Jenny. There's two Jennys. Understandable, but not that Jenny.
I also think it's super funny. Anaya isn't
there.
Mrs. Pattison.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. Who is doing the actual assembly. And Isaac is not there, and Artemis is not there, and Cameron is not there.
Okay.
So, like, where are all the ISA
kids? No, but I have a theory for this. Remember when we were talking about how the ISA seemed to have really dropped the ball on trying to recruit Henry and everything? Okay.
Sure.
I think, again, that it's purposeful that Anaya is not here heading this auditorium. I think she did not stand for what happened, and I think she never really wanted to recruit Henry. Like, she wanted adults to be the ones involved with this thing. So, in my perspective and random theory, is she knew, because she knows Henry. She knows that Henry killed his son. She's like, peace out, I'm not doing this. Like, she just straight up was like, I'm not gonna do this. And she actually probably pulled her kid, like, those ISA kids out, because she's like, I don't want, because she said she does not want Isaac to find out what happened. And I think she didn't want to be even close enough for there to be any kind of association or link that she had anything to do with this, because I don't think she approved of this at all.
She didn't.
And so therefore she's like, I'm not there, I'm not even doing this. I don't even want to have my face. Because also, as principal, I feel like she should have been the one giving a speech, not some random...
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a grief counselor or a guidance counselor. I don't know who this Patterson lady is. But
I think she might be like a guidance counselor.
The fact that Isaac's not there and all the ISA kids are not there, I think maybe Anaya pulled them out and said, like, oh, you're not going to school today, or you're not doing this, or and I don't know how she got away with that. But I really think deliberately she's like, I'm not going to let you involve. Because I think she's also concerned, starting to become concerned for their kids. Like, I think she's like, okay, if Henry Sr. is going to kill Henry, then is he going to kill my son, or is she, like, are the other kids in danger now? Because basically you're dealing with a crazy person, right?
Mm-hmm. Are the other kids in danger now? Yes they are. I also within that assembly scene, you have Henry Sr. saying something like, nobody is to blame, and then, like, telepathically to Courtney, except you. And that's like,
what's wrong metal. With this man?
Psychological warfare is fun, actually. He loves when torturing children. You are children. Not a victim.
He loves torturing children. Like, it's his favorite.
Oh, yeah.
He does, like, literally.
Oh, yeah. So then it goes back to the house, and Courtney is running down, and she's like, come on, work! Because Brainwave knows who she is.
Which is truly terrifying.
And she's talking to Pat, and Pat's like, it'll still work for you. That's not, like, it didn't choose you because it thought that you were Starman's daughter. Mm-hmm. And she, like, couldn't Pat clarify that Starman was not the original son of the original Starman?
Yeah, he,
like,
could've.
Straight up,
who is the original,
like,
Starman?
I don't know why he didn't do that. Dead wow.
The knights, yeah.
And then, of course, he's like, take a minute, relax. And then he goes upstairs, and she immediately grabs him and tells him to come down with her. And the whole glowing scene, and that's fun. I like the light exploding. Where did the wind come from, though? That's all I want to know.
It is just wind.
I know it's dramatic. I love that it... But it's like where in that basement is the wind
coming
from?
In the warehouse. Not warehouse, in the
basement. No, I like the cinematography of that, but, like, or not cinematography isn't the right word. I like the direction of that, but...
Oh, I was going to say, I have a random note for this scene that says, when Pat told Courtney that heroes can come from anywhere, that's plagiarism. Cite your sources, Pat, because he just got that from Sir Justin. The other thing I was going to say was, imagine Mike telling Jakeem the mess of what happened that day. Like, he might have been moving out of the country, and he would have had to be like, okay, bye, dude.
I was just going to say, where is Mike in all this?
He's just not here.
Did Mike go to school?
Maybe he went to Mike is just out and about. I'm moving.
Justice for Mike. Seriously.
For real.
For Michael.
And this is when we really thought Mike was going to die. Like, we really, really thought. Before they
did
even
you?
That was an entire
Okay, I'm gonna raise my hand and say when Tam uses we a lot on the show, and you're allowed to do that. I am not always included in the we. In no universe did I ever think that Mike was going to die.
Okay, so when I say we, I'm usually talking about Adiba and I, because we were in the same group of people watching from week to week. I can pull up messages of us being like, rest in peace Michael Dukin, because he was going to die tonight. Like, we were actually fundamentally scared. And that was before that... Jordan says what he does at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. It was the second that Henry died, we were like, because Mike got no screen time and there's disregard for Mike, we thought, oh, this is going to be Pat's huge screw-up moment when he realizes that he didn't pay enough attention to the son who he was about to lose. We really thought that was going to happen, and then it didn't, so good. But we were
interesting.
Scared.
So then finally you get that last little scene with Icicle, and... he comes to his senses, according to Brainwave, and he goes out of his way and is like, you gotta kill Mike, which is really funny. I like that he says, can't leave a legacy running around, and that's foreshadowing, but not in the way you expect it, Jordan.
Oh, yeah. And
presumably foreshadowing, I guess. We don't actually
It's foreshadowing,
know,
but it did not work out
the poetic cinema of the only person that threatens Icicle is the one person who actually bothered to be hostile towards Icicle this entire season, and that's literally a 13-year-old boy that's going to kill him. It's just, it's quite hilarious.
But yeah, and then we pan to the camera, and you see that Project New America is already underway, counting down from like 24 hours or something like that. And yeah, it's all that's how the episode ends.
I love it.
So I have a question. If you were able to change two things about this episode, what would you change and what would you change it to? Like, why?
Okay. This is, I feel like I talked about it a little bit. You don't need as much Shining Knight lore. I understand they wanted to include Shining Knight. I know that he was in the comics for not the same purpose, but they brought Shining Knight to explain the whole time tornado thing, mm-hmm. kind of. So, if I remember correctly. So, I get that they wanted to include him, and they could have included him. But I think that it does a disservice to the larger plot and the characters that are pre-existing to have so much focus on him, especially considering that in the next two episodes, he's not really going to have that much of a focus, and then he's literally not mm-hmm. at all in season two. So again, I really think that they could have focused on Yolanda's mourning instead of all of those scenes with the Shining Knight. And then if it's changed something else, I would want to see the reaction from the other ISA kids, or just like the other members of the ISA in general, because that is a market that we just never see their response to, really. Like, we never see how, I correct me if I'm wrong, but we never really get a response out of like even Crusher and Paula, other than like, oh damn, Brainwave killed his son. But like,
we didn't get any response.
That can and should have caused a civil war within the ISA.
I cannot believe
that they all went through with that plan in the end. And I know there was kind of a civil war afterwards, but I think that really should have been an inciting incident where they should have been like, oh, we have to get our kids out of here, we're in danger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is something that we're missing. And especially considering how short the lifespan of the ISA is going to be, it's kind of sad that we didn't get that.
Yeah.
So that's what I would change.
For me, I think the lunch scene, like I said, it should have been longer. And the scene with Rick and Beth.
We get Cindy's reaction to Henry being dead somewhat in season two because she doesn't seem to care at all. And we were like shocked when she used to. It's like, oh, well, who cares? Henry's dead. Whoopsie. And
well, we get that later, I think, in the next episode. Sorry to interrupt. But we do get that little, because Brainwave says, doesn't he, to her that
I don't remember.
He killed
him? I actually don't remember.
I think he does.
Okay, in which case, I don't remember. But I thought it would have been a little bit more interesting for Cindy to have been a little bit more desperate to hold on to being like, hold on, you can't do that. Who am I supposed to talk to? How am I supposed to, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I think that would have been interesting. Mm-hmm. But again, also, I think it was just the fact that the episode was called Shining Knight. I feel like of all of the episodes, this one should have been called Stargirl. I know it's weird, but like...
No, I get that.
It just, yeah. Because this was really Courtney's episode, not exactly Shining Knight's.
Yeah, and they could have changed the first episode to be called The Cosmic Staff. So yeah,
that works. Yeah, The Cosmic Staff, yeah.
So thank you everybody so much for listening to this week's episode. Next week we will be back for our two-parter finale. So super exciting about that. I already have a whole tangent planned that I am super excited to talk to you about because I think about it every night and day. you can follow me at Blue Valley Breaking News on Tumblr or Cleonap00 on Twitter.
I'm Adiba and I'm Gert Starlight on every platform.
And I'm Tam. You can follow me on Tumblr, Our Nights with an S, or at Twitter, TKV-, I think it's a dash, Our Nights as well.
All right. Thank you again so much for listening. We will see you next week, or not really, but you will hear us for sure. Have an awesome day. Goodbye.
Bye.